but see it grow. Like a rhino. Not easily offended, not let it go. From a mess to the masses, a list of mania. Think less, but see it grow.
Of student-driven media at Bluffton University. On your PC, your radio, and your mobile device. This is WBWHLP Bluffton. 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I am your host, Tyler Avila, and I'm joined along with Trent Mast and Buddy. It is finally Friday. We're done with this second to last week of classes. We got one more week left, and then it's exam week, man. Where has the time gone?
It's flown by for sure.
No question about it. And I mean, it has me speechless because I have 2 weeks left here. 2 weeks left!
Ouch.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's it's definitely gonna be a wild ride for sure, but don't worry, I'll be back. I'll help out with basketball here and there when the second semester starts. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be crazy and weird and different, and you guys would be fine though. So with Trent and I back in studio doing the Beaver Dam, We weren't able to be in here Monday. I had night class, and Trent had stuff he needed to get done. So we had James Hudson and Floyd Krajovic step in for us, and you'll be hearing them more often here on the Beaver Dam as well, along with Trent. I think with the next two Mondays that we have left here at Bluffton, they will be taking over the show, doing it live like we do it live on Fridays. So we'll have two live shows each week. We'll have Monday and Friday, Monday with James and Floyd, like I said, and then Friday with Trent and myself. This will be a shorter show. There hasn't really been a lot going on. We only have three sports going on right now in season at Bluffton, and there's really not a lot going on outside of the world of sports out of Bluffton. There is one thing interesting that I saw today on Twitter, and I have it pulled up on ESPN2. That there was a report that came out talking about Urban Meyer, the head coach at Ohio State, saying he doesn't plan on coaching after this next football season, that he's going to step down. Ryan Day, who is their offensive coordinator right now, will get a significant pay raise and will fill in and be the new head coach there. But that is a rumor. It is not true. The Ohio State Athletic Director, Gene Smith, said today he denied the report about Urban stepping down and not expecting to coach past the 2019 season, and could hand his duties to offensive coordinator Ryan Day. Football Scoop reported, citing anonymous sources, that Meyer has informed Smith that he expects to step down before the 2020 season. The website also reported that Day, a candidate for several head coaching vacancies, will remain at Ohio State with a sizable salary raise and an unwritten understanding that he likely would succeed Meyer as Ohio State's head coach. Today, Urban, during the Big Ten championship game press conference, he said that he saw the report, but there's no truth to it. That was Gene Smith who said he saw the report and there's no truth to it. When Urban was asked about it at the news conference, he said no comment. This foam on the microphone, it shaves off, and I think I just inhaled some of it. But, I mean, Trent, this is a... It always seems to happen before a big game with a big team heading into, like, a couple of days before or a day before, that something comes out and tries to distract their focus off of what's going on and off the game. And why do you think people do this?
I think it's just like a tactic to get in their heads a little bit and just make them not 100% into the upcoming event, game, whatever it is. And I mean, I feel like with Urban Meyer just saying no comment.
Yeah.
That's just, he's not worrying about it. He's just worrying about the game and not anything else, just the game.
Right. I mean, some more things from this report. I mean, there was a source close to Coach Ryan Day that told ESPN on Friday that he isn't withdrawing his name from consideration for coaching opportunity this year. This Football Scoop also reported that Meyer would address his future shortly after the Big Ten title game tomorrow. See, the big thing is with Urban Meyer, it came out that he has a cyst on his brain, and he's been suffering with headaches. And before the Michigan game, they were saying that his doctor told him that you need to get rid of things that causes stress. And, well, being a head football coach in a Division I program like Ohio State causes a lot of stress. I mean, come on. Though the cyst, it's unrelated to the health issue that caused him to take a leave of absence from Florida after the 2009 season and step down as the Gators' head football coach in 2010. I mean, he's been dealing with this for a while. I just thought that was interesting to put out there that people are trying to draw away from what's really going on. Like, they're trying to change focus off of the championship game to that. There are some football games tomorrow. There's one tonight. It's the Pac-12 championship game. It's number 17 Utah at number 11 Washington. That will be at 8:00 tonight on Fox. That should be an interesting game. I watched the game between Washington and Washington State last weekend, and my goodness, they were in Washington State, and it was snowing like crazy. I don't know if you got a chance to see any clips from the game, but man, it was coming down. There's like an inch or so on the field.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew, I don't like snow.
So the big game, if you're a Buckeye fan, you have to pay attention to will be the 12:00 game on ABC, and that's number 14 Texas and number 5 Oklahoma in the Dr. Pepper Big 12 championship game. Now, the key thing is to look at is that Oklahoma has one loss in the year, and that's to Texas. So... It could go either way. Oklahoma could come in fueled up. It's like, these guys beat us. If we want to make the playoff, we have to beat them. Because they to an extent, ruined our chances of possibly getting into the playoff this year. If you're Texas, you just want to win the Big 12 championship. You're at 14, and I don't think there's really a chance for them to try to sneak into the playoff. They could sneak into a better bowl game if they beat Oklahoma. But if you're a Buckeye fan, you have to be a Texas fan. So, hook 'em horns. Number 23, Iowa State, will be hosting Drake. I don't know if that's college or university, but I don't even know if that's a championship game. I think it's just one of their last games of the year. At 3:30 on ABC, it's the American Athletic Conference Football Championship game. A number 8 UCF will be hosting Memphis. Another game that if you're an Ohio State fan, you have to root, watch, and cheer for the team, and that's the SEC Championship game on CBS at 4 o'clock. It's at number 1 Alabama, at number 4 Georgia. Now, it's not a home game for Georgia by any means. They host the... I mean, okay, yes, to an extent it is, because it's in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Falcons play. So Georgia will have a little bit more of a home field advantage per se, but it's kind of the neutral site where they host the championship game. You have to root for Bama if you're an Ohio State fan, because if Georgia wins, from what I've heard, Bama's not leaving that top 4.
Yeah.
So you have to root for Bama. You have to... As much as it kills me, because I personally do not like Alabama, but you have to respect their play, because even if they do lose, like, if it's a 3-point game and Georgia wins by 3, like, I feel what Bama has done all year, you can't discredit them being in the playoff. What were you going to say?
I don't know. I would feel like the only way if they would lose and if they wouldn't make it, just hear me out, if they... Say they get shut out and just get blown out of the water.
Bama?
Yeah, but theoretically, but that won't happen.
No. Okay.
But I feel like that would be the only way, if they lost, that they would not be.
I mean, it could. The line right now is at Alabama by 12.5. And Georgia's been playing well. I mean, really, it's the same team. They lost some seniors, but they still got the same quarterback who went up against Bama last year twice in the championship game and the national championship game. So, like, they know how Bama is.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting for sure. That'll be one of the games I will definitely try to watch tomorrow evening. On ESPN is the Mountain West Football Championship game. Number 25, Fresno State, will be at number 22, Boise State. At 8 o'clock on ABC, it's number 2, Clemson. Pittsburgh's not ranked. But it's not at Pittsburgh, though. It's at Charlotte, North Carolina, Bank of America Stadium. I believe that's where the Panthers play. So it's a sort of a neutral site game for both teams. And then at 8 o'clock, it's the Big Ten Championship game on Fox. Ohio State, number 6 Ohio State, will be playing number 21 Northwestern. And that will be at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy. So, yeah, I mean, if you're an Ohio State fan, the two games you have to watch and cheer for teams is Texas-Oklahoma, you got to be a Texas fan. Alabama and Georgia, got to be a Bama fan, as much as it kills you. Because that's the only way Ohio State has a shot of sneaking in at number 4.
Yeah.
Because Clemson should beat Pittsburgh. Notre Dame already has it locked. They're an independent, so they don't have a championship, a conference championship game. Georgia plays Bama. If Georgia loses, they'll drop. Right now, they're number 4. Oklahoma is technically the first one out at number 5, but if they lose, that'll help Ohio State's chances of sneaking in. So other than that, there's no way. I don't think. Honestly, I don't know if I want to get into the playoff, because this Bama team is a lot different than the Bama team that Ohio State played the first year of the playoff. Yeah. A lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get into this playoff and get the crap kicked out of us like we did against Clemson a year or two ago. That was embarrassing. So, that's my spiel on that. Hopefully things, we'll figure out where we stand. Because after the games tomorrow, on Sunday, it's the selection show. It's the selection show. Not for the bowl games, it's the final ranking, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm not all here, Ty.
No, you're good. You're good. I mean, that's really all we have of stuff outside of Bluffton. I mean, nothing really interesting going on in the world of sports. I mean, there was one thing that I saw on Twitter last night scrolling through was the Raptors and Warriors playing, and Kevin Durant being guarded by Kawhi hits a three in Kawhi's eye to send the game to overtime, but then the Warriors ended up losing by three. So, not a lot in the world of sports. Just the same old, same old. So I think Trent and I will take a quick break. When we come back, we will recap the basketball games from this past week, and then we will preview their games tomorrow. Also, indoor track will kick off their season tomorrow as well. We'll look at stuff in the HCAC as well. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
This may sound like a typical high school basketball game being played on a Friday night in Ohio. In fact, it's a crash course in cooperation and teamwork. It's a test of dedication, determination, and drive. It's character development in action. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think about this. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students who participate in school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. At the same time, playing sports helps teach lessons not covered in the classroom. Lessons like tolerance, respect for the rules, and the importance of supporting your community. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
I go out of my house and hear angry yelling. There's a bunch of neighbors all screaming at each other and a guy I don't recognize in a car calling everyone names. Then he takes off. He screeches to a stop down the street, puts his car in reverse, just backing up, fishtailing and nearly hitting the group on the street. They jump out of the way and run to get steel fence posts stacked at a vacant lot. I don't know what's gonna happen, and I don't know what to do, so I just run up to the guy in the car while they're getting those fence posts and say, "What are you doing? Do you live around here? You better get out of here." He looks at me and suddenly just tears away again while the people are coming with their steel posts. I don't know if that's peacemaking, but after everyone calmed down and as I walked away, I heard someone in the crowd say, "Hey, thanks."
For more real stories, visit our website at thirdway.com. From the Mennonite Churches.
Welcome back here to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Way. I am your host, Tyler Avila, joined along with Trent Mastin. Let's get into some basketball, Trent. We got to call the first home women's game of the year. Bluffton hosted John Carroll University, and let's dive right on in.
Bluffton University women's basketball team lost a hard-fought game to John Carroll University by the score of 86-70 in overtime on Wednesday. The final tally was misleading, as it was a heavyweight battle through the first four rounds. The loss dropped the Beavers to 1-4, while John Carroll improved to 3-2. The first quarter saw both teams go back and forth with the score being 14-12 after the first quarter in favor of the home team. Quarter two was more of the same as the scoring ramped up. Brianna Gillig had 8 points in the second quarter, and the Beavers went into halftime with a 37-33 lead.
Yeah, I mean, this game that we saw was a really hard-fought battle between both teams. And like you said, through the first four quarters, or rounds, as the recap says, this game was neck and neck. And that first half, Bluffton really did a lot of things great. They were hustling, they were playing defense, and they were getting to the hoop. But then John Carroll responded in the third quarter as they scored 20 points to take a 53-48 lead. The fourth quarter was controlled by the Beavers as they used a 19-9 scoring splurge to build a 67-62 lead with 56 seconds left in the game. John Carroll's Abby Adler hit a three-point shot, and man, was someone in her face when she hit that shot. To cut the deficit to 67-65, after trading makes at the charity stripe, the Beavers held a 70-67 lead with 21 seconds left. 21 seconds left. They're up three.
Yeah.
All they needed to do, and as we said, don't give up a three. The visitors came out of the timeout with a well-executed play, creating enough space for Danny Carlson to get a triple from the wing, and it swished. I mean, she hit nothing but net with the clock winding down, making it 70-70. The Beavers, unfortunately, were not able to get up a shot, and John Carroll took advantage of Big Mo.
Momentum,
okay. Yeah. Some of these words in these recaps, man, they throw me off.
Uh-huh.
I mean, John Carroll just dominated that overtime period.
Yeah.
Bluffton was gassed, and give credit to John Carroll's coach. She was subbing in five girls at a time. She was subbing in her second unit a lot.
Yeah.
Giving her starters the rest they need. And this is not a hit to Coach Shuttler at all, but we didn't see a lot of subs in that second half like we did in the first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think that if he would have gave some of these girls the rest they needed, the Beavers might have pulled out a victory on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and that final shot by Danny Carlson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember she had someone in her face in that shot, too, and it was
not only Danny, but Adler. Yeah, I mean, both girls.
Of them.
My goodness.
It was insane. It was intense, too.
Yeah.
That last 55 seconds, I think I was on the edge of my seat the entire time.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I was, too. I mean, that game, other than the overtime blowout, was a nail-biter, and it was a great game. So, like, our Beavers played as well as they could.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like overtime here just kills our Beavers. Bluffton was led by Brianna Gillig and Brianna Graham, who both netted 16 points. Graham went 3 of 9 from the three-point line, while Gillig added a career-high 15 rebounds for her first collegiate double-double. Junior TJ Mills scored 15 points for the Beavers, while also contributing 6 rebounds and 6 assists on the night. Nicole Heffington led the way for John Carroll as she poured in a game-high 21 points to go along with her 9 rebounds. The visitors had 2 double-digit scores that came off the bench as Danny Carlson chipped in with 13 and Sarah Sprecher added 11 as well. Abby Adler led John Carroll with 6 assists. Excuse me. The Beavers connected on just 33.3% from the field, going 21 of 63. John Carroll was more efficient at 42.3%, connecting on 33 of 78 in the victory. The visitors won the rebounding battle 47-44, and they handed out 8 more assists, 20-12. The Beavers made more free throws, going 22 of 31 for 71%. However, John Carroll shot the better percentage from the foul line as they drilled 14 of 16 for 87.5%. Yeah. So, I mean, it's been the reoccurring thing to start off this season with Bluffton now being 1-4 in all the games that we've looked at. They're struggling to find someone to score.
Yeah.
They desperately need someone to step up and be a scorer because they, and as we mentioned, heading into previewing the girls before they kicked off the season and talking about the last 5 games now, they're really hurting after losing Casey Rao and Macy Shearer, who are now 1-3 all time in Bluffton scoring history for the women's basketball program. losing two girls like that, it might be a struggling year to find someone to score, because TJ can't do it all.
Yeah.
And TJ really isn't that strong of a scorer. She can drive in and get fouls and go to the line, and that's where most of her points come from, is from the free throw line. But you need someone who can consistently hit an open jumper, hit a three when you need one,
yeah.
Get down in the paint. I mean, you got Brianna Gillig right now, but she's still a freshman. She's still learning this role, this program, the plays. So it's going to take her a while to get clicking with it. Yeah, she had 16 points. Congratulations. That's a good game. Don't get me wrong. I don't even think I could score 16 collegiately. There's no way, no honestly. Way. I think I could score collegiately 16 points. But you can't just rely on the freshman to get down there, get down in the post, and get bodied up and put something up, because she's still young and you have these more experienced girls, not only non-conference teams but in the conference, who are going to bully her down in the post. So some of these girls coming off the bench or some of the other starters that they have really need to step in and be like, oh, just set the tone scoring wise.
Yeah.
So not only did we have that game, but we had another nail biter in the Sommer Center on Wednesday night. The men's basketball team knocked off Kalamazoo 95-92 in the Sommer Center, with four Beavers notching double digits on Wednesday. Although Bluffton trailed by 6 at the half, the Beavers stormed back in the second half with a 54-45 advantage for Bluffton's fourth straight victory. They are now 4-1 overall. Kalamazoo slipped to 2-4 on the season, and remembering from the pre-show, and James and Floyd were talking about how Kalamazoo, heading into that game, were on a 3-game losing streak, so that extends it to 4. The Beavers were down 6 at the break, as I mentioned, and they were looking to attack the rim when they came out for the second 20 minutes, and the home team did just that. With 18:52 to go in the second half, an Isaiah Taylor layup cut the Kalamazoo lead to 47-45. The Beavers finally tied it up at 5 minutes later with a jumper by Andrew Renner. The points came fast and furious for both teams throughout the second half, but the Beavers came out on top when the dust settled after Bluffton and Kalamazoo combined for 187 points. That's a lot of scoring there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's crazy.
That's a lot of scoring. The Beavers fell behind 11-2 just 5 minutes into the contest, and I was kind of worried.
Ooh.
Yeah, they were down pretty big and pretty early. They scratched and clawed, tying it at 11 with a layup from junior Cam Singleton. Cam played really well. For the minutes he got in that first half, I think he got in a little bit in the second half. I can't remember. But he got a steal, got the layup to tie it, and he played really well. Although Bluffton never got over the hump, the Beavers cut the Kalamazoo lead to 6 heading into the break. A hometown team came out blazing in the second half as they knocked down 17 of 25, 68% from the field. Bluffton's hot shooting was ultimately too much for Kalamazoo as the Beavers handed the Hornets their fourth loss on the season. Andrew Renner led the way with a career-high 32 points thanks to 12 of 14 at the line, 8 for 16 from the field, and 4 of 6 from distance. He also came down with a game-high 9 rebounds. Taylor bucketed a career-high as well with 19 points while ripping down 6 rebounds. Senior Justice Doughty hit 6 of 9 from the field for 12 points, and Aaron Rich chipped in with 11 points as well. Sophomore Ronnie James doled out a career-high 6 assists. Bluffton scorched the Nets with 33 of 61, 54.1% from the field, including 8 of 16, 50% from behind the arc. The Beavers were out-rebounded 31 to 26, but they were superb at taking care of the ball with just 6 turnovers, 9 fewer than their counterparts from Michigan. That just sounds weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, were you able to, like, listen or watch the game? Because once we were done with the women's, I know you had a paper to write.
I was just typing my paper. I didn't tune in or anything, but people were telling me about it, and
Renner was on fire in that second
half.
Yeah,
someone told me, and I was like, oh, I missed a good game.
You did.
But you did. Just hearing that and looking at some of the stats from our guys, I mean, it just looks like they played all-around good basketball.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it, they did. The one thing to keep an eye out, though, is that the bench points. Kalamazoo had 40 points coming off of their bench, and Bluffton only had 19. And the thing is, though, a little less than half of Bluffton's points came from inside the paint. They had 42 points inside the paint.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And at one point, because the finish is 42 for Bluffton, 40 for Kalamazoo. At one point, it was 38 and 18. Bluffton had 38 points in the paint compared to 18 for Kalamazoo. So Bluffton gave up a lot more points in that second half in the paint to Kalamazoo.
Were they like, I didn't watch, so was it like they were getting more putbacks up after shots? A little bit,
yeah. Trying to go to the... I mean, what killed him was Trey Humes. He dropped 19 points in that first half, and he was just unconscious. He was unconscious. He went 8 for 12 from the field, 3 for 4 from the three-point line, just hitting everything. He had... And I'm not discrediting Andrew Renner, because Andrew Renner played tremendous defense on this kid, but he, even with Renner's hand in his face, he was knocking him down.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was insane. Then you had Jannard Smith, Jeremiah Vincent step in because Trey Humes went ice cold. He only had two shots in that second half, putting up 2 points. But Jannard Smith and Jeremiah Vincent put up 26 combined points. Smith had 16, Vincent had 10. So Mizzou had decent players putting in points. You had Vincent, who finished with 14. Tanner Bliley finished with 12. Trey Humes at 21, and Jannard Smith with 22. I also had Ben Reeder with 14 points. And if it wasn't for the fact that a couple of their players fouled out, things could have gone differently, I think.
So they had, what, five? Five guys that were double digits, and we had four?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a very kind of high-scoring game. I mean, 90 in the 90s, that's... high.
Pretty high, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the highest amount of points we've put up is. I'm not sure. We can check that out and give it to James for Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Let people know. But both of our men's and women's basketball teams will start conference play tomorrow, December 1st, as they both travel to Transylvania to take on Transy, the Pioneers. The women will play first at 2 o'clock, then the men will follow at 4. Then we have a slew, and I mean a slew of home games. Next Wednesday, December 5th, the women will be home to host Earlham College. The men will be at Earlham. Then next Saturday, December 8th, both teams will host Hanover. The women will play at 1, and the men will play at 3. Then the Saturday after that will be another conference matchup against Franklin College. Women will play at 2, and the men will play at 4. That Saturday, I'm not sure. I'm going to try to call the game, even though I'll be done. Sorry. And that's the first weekend heading into winter break. But I'm definitely going to try to call that game, only because, like, our last day is December 13th, and that's, like, 2 days later. So, like, why not? Then both teams have their holiday tournament on December 28th and 29th. The women will play Waynesburg at 5 o'clock Friday, December 28th, and the men will play at 7 o'clock against Ohio Midwestern. They don't have their Saturday, December 29th teams up because of the tournament, so those are to be determined. We'll look at standings for basketball in the HCAC. Right now, women's-wise, Transy's at the top at 3-1 overall. Anderson's right below them at 4-2. You got Mount St. Joseph third at 2-1, Hanover at fourth at 3-2, Rose is right under there at 5 at 3-3. Sixth is Manchester at 2-3. Then you got Franklin there sitting seventh at 1-3. Bluffton there at 1-4. Then Earlham and Defiance there in last at 0-3. So the women, if they got to turn things around here soon, and they have a tough matchup Saturday against Transy, who's top of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
But they're at the top only because of their overall record.
Yeah, because no one has played anything in the conference yet.
Men-wise, Bluffton is at the top of the conference, sitting 4-1. Under them is Hanover at 3-2. Rose is 2-3 at third. Tied with Transylvania at 2-3. Then it's Mount St. Joseph at technically fourth place at 1-3. Anderson, Earlham, Franklin, and Manchester are all tied at 1-4 apiece. And then there's Defiance and last at 0-4. So Bluffton, for the guys at least, they're playing pretty darn well.
I was going to say they're playing some pretty good basketball. They lost, their first game of the season?
Yes.
Because they're on a four-game. Yeah, if they're on a four-game winning streak. So that means after that first game, they really have just been tearing it up.
I
mean,
some of these games that they've won, I think other than the Heidelberg game, the Heidelberg game they won by like three. Some of these games that they're playing
are very close.
They're very close games. Mm-hmm. They're not winning by like 10-plus points. They're winning by like three to five-plus points. So they'll have a decently tough game Saturday against Transy. Transy's 2-3. I'm not sure really who they played. It'll be interesting to see what our Beavers do tomorrow at Transylvania. Last but not least, before we wrap up, the indoor track and field team for the men's and women's at Bluffton University will kick off their season at the Tiffin Alum Open. So good luck to all of our runners tomorrow. Good luck to our basketball players on the men's and women's side. Anything else to add before we wrap up, Trent?
The guys, obviously, they've been competing really well. So just continuing tomorrow and into next week, competing really well and doing what they have been doing the past four games when they've been winning. And then on the women's side, I mean, we talked about this a little bit during the game, but just working on defensively and their transition play. And then, like you said earlier, finding someone that'll put in their shots and really finish at the basket, at the hoop.
Well, the thing with the women's, with that game this past Wednesday, John Carroll was cherry picking all game.
Oh, yeah.
And that's tough to defend.
Especially like they're in that overtime. I mean, it seemed like they were only playing defense with
three or four
girls, and they'd either steal it or get the rebound, and then they'd just look up the court and just hurl it.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Nora, she had one that counted as a block, correct?
Yes.
And that was just a really good hustle transition play. And then she had that other one that
was great,
that we both thought was clean, but they ended up calling a foul on her. But just right there, I mean, it shows they're still working back. It's just with John Carroll, they were just, as you said, cherry picking. Yeah. And they were, all of their girls looked really fast. So,
yeah.
I mean, they did what they needed to do, and they just didn't end up with the result they wanted. So just continuing to work and get better each and every game.
Yeah, no question about it. So good luck to all of our athletes this weekend participating in either basketball or in whatever event you are doing tomorrow in the first indoor track and field meet at Tiffin. And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to Floyd and James on Monday. Check out our previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play the WIT 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWIT.com, and subscribe. This has been Tyler Avila, joined along with Trent Mass, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The WIT.
Roll Beave.